Welcome to Equip, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Marie Cohen, Russ DeMont, and Quentin Thurman. We are going to recap the Heart and Soul family meeting that we had, just have a little bit more of a conversation of just remembering what an awesome night that we had and all the people that were there. And so, yeah, let's get equipped. All right. What's up, everybody?
What's up?
Howdy. Hey.
Happy Monday. How we feeling?
We're good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Just ate some good old Popeye's fried chicken.
So. Love that chicken. All those. From Popeyes. All those.
This is a sponsored advertisement by Popeye's. Cajun style fried things. Popeye's, huh? We have 14 pounds of grilled chicken, and
yeah, I didn't get to eat the fried chicken last night at the Heart and Soul dinner, and I felt like maybe the Lord was telling me I needed to eat grilled chicken, so I was decided I would take it upon myself to get some fried chicken today.
Well, Tess Stewart snitched. She said Will Stewart. She said Willie cleaned out the rest of the fried chicken. So that's on. She said, "Oh, Willie Stew finished it out." So shout out to Willie Stew for eating the rest of the fried chicken. You deserve it, proud new papa.
That's right.
So, yeah, so last night we had the Heart and Soul family dinner. We had about 250 people there last night. We have about 503 people that are Heart and Soul with our church. And so if you're unfamiliar with us as Connection Church, one, thanks for listening to a podcast that's almost exclusively about our Connect Group leaders and our church. I'm really grateful for you tuning in. But Heart and Soul, for all practical purposes, are what we refer to as our members. Church membership and covenant membership is a very clear idea and a very clear aspect of church life is expressed in the New Testament. I mean, covenant community has always existed all the way through the Old Testament as well. But that's how we celebrate our resurrected Savior now, is in covenant community with one another, and what we call that is Heart and Soul. And so we had a family dinner last night just to share the vision for again, in a fresh way to all the people that are Heart and Soul with us. A lot of that for us with the equipping area this time around. Brandon and our staff and our elders empowered us as the equipping team to share some wins, some growth opportunities, but also just a really clear vision of calling people to a deeper walk with Jesus, not just to show up, to attend, to just be a part of the Sunday morning, which is a very important part of our church, but to begin to journey into a deeper walk with the Lord. That's what all of the vision was built around. But then also to provide a little bit of financial transparency as we continue to call people to a greater level of generosity. What we shared, really nuts and bolts of it, was we're fine. Like, the building's being paid for, the light bills are on, the lights are on, the bill's being paid. None of our staff are in jeopardy of being laid off for financial reasons anyway. I'm just kidding. We're not, you know, there's nobody that's like, you know, there's no financial pressure. So everything that we're calling people to is really about how much more of God's mission can we accomplish together. And so I was really appreciative that the church enabled the equipping team to share more of that. And then also that we have a long-term missionary family that's going to be going out. And we got to pray over them and celebrate them, cast vision for that, and speak more plainly. I'm not sure if you had Popeyes or if I had Popeyes. I can't stop burping into the microphone. But to share that with our people more plainly, more openly, of what is this couple going to do? And so today's just going to be a little bit of a celebration of that, just more conversational. And also we commissioned this last year's worth of Heart and Soul families. And so Quentin had a chance to stand up and lead us through that and to celebrate 55 people?
Yeah.
55 people that have become Heart and Soul over the last year. And there was 103 potential people that could have been celebrated. Yeah. There were 55 that were able to make it last night. And so it's just incredible. I mean, it's 103 people in the last year, about 200 and what were my notes?
60 something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 260. Why can't my eyes find it in my notes? 200 and something people that have become Heart and Soul in the last 2 years. So, I mean, that's almost half of everybody that's Heart and Soul have become Heart and Soul in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's pretty incredible. So that's what, another reason that we really needed to carve out time in a family dinner to cast vision, to get the family back together, make sure everybody knows one another. But let's start kind of here. What was your favorite part of the Heart and Soul family dinner last night?
You want me to go first? I'm going to be a little bit selfish, and my favorite part was to see the amount of college kids that we had that have signed up recently to be Heart and Soul, and the amount of students that we had standing up there in that number of 55 that had become Heart and Soul, and just to see some of the excitement on their faces of when the numbers are shared and the goals and the cultures and all the things that we know to be true, a part of the family of connection, but to see them really kind of grab hold of that mission is exciting to see, especially for somebody who works in the college portion of our church. And so for me, that's just, I don't know, that gets me fired up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've come a long way in that, like just not just them coming on Wednesday night and not just them attending on Sunday morning, but them seeing the value of existing as covenant members of a local church. It's like riding a bike with training wheels, right? Like that's not the true full expression of being a covenant member of riding a bike. but it is like getting into the right types of habits that will make you successful when the training wheels are off. And so, I agree. I really enjoyed, like Macy sat at a table last night with almost all college students and, made references to old comedy things that they had no idea were comedy things of like the back of your head is ridiculous. Except she said the back of your head is ridiculous with no accent, which was amusing for the college students. So that's good. What else? What were some other things? What was your favorite?
I really enjoyed whenever all the new Heart and Soul family stood at the front and we got to kind of meet them just a little bit. Not, of course, it wasn't like in depth and personal, but I took it upon myself. So every time they waved, I waved back. And I felt like that was very important for me to do. But no, the first like two or three families that waved, people waved back. And then like people stopped waving. And I was like, wow, rude. And so, but it was really funny just because like they started noticing up there that I was waving back. And so like, even though I didn't have the opportunity to go up and shake all of their hands and meet them or anything like that, they're like, oh, you're that crazy one in the back that waved 55 times. And I just wanted the opportunity to like create some reason to continue to have conversation with them. And it was cool that so many of them, I already know their faces, which is new, I feel like, to the life of our church, like that they've been in our church anywhere from one day, a Heart and Soul member anywhere from one day to a year. And I knew so many of them in some way, shape or form, but then some of them I didn't know too. And I'm excited to get to learn more about. And I thought that was great.
Absolutely. Q-Dog.
There's so many good parts. It's hard to put my finger on one thing that like this was like, you know, if we did nothing else, this was the thing that like really got me. I mean, from being able to cast vision and get excited and really amp up just our Heart and Soul people about what could be, to getting to talk about numbers. That's a thing that as a Heart and Soul member, I was like, I always really appreciated that Connection would do, is that they're transparent and they're honest, and you know, it doesn't feel like it's this guarded secret, but that you guys are going to share as much as you feel led to the Heart and Soul, the commissioning, like getting to, I think with that, like what really, was cool for me is like, I'd read the Connect group or the area they were serving in and you hear like a whoop whoop or something like that in the background. And it was just really cool, obviously, because a lot of our new Heart and Soul members have taken steps. Like that's they have right. gotten connected. They've started getting in Connect groups. They've started serving. But I just felt like that was everything I could have ever hoped for, of just hearing, you know, like Chris Miller, like me read that so-and-so's in his group, and he's like, let's go. Like, just like having that, they're already connected. They're already, they're getting to see the fruit of being in community. Mm-hmm. They're getting to experience what it's like on a larger body of believers scale to see like, oh, this person's connected to this person, and this person is in this group, and this person serves here. And I thought that was really, really sweet to see, and it kind of gave me a moment to like, as I was up there, just really appreciate it and then move on to the next person. But, and then obviously getting to celebrate our long-term missionaries, just a really sweet. And I mean,
yeah, we always have to speak about them really like hush hush and keep identity secret and can't speak very plainly about stuff. But last night we were able to speak like super bluntly and super plainly. Marie, I don't know if you noticed that or not, but we were able to just be really clear about things last night, which was really, really fun.
Got to see Jordan tear up a little bit. Which you always got to savor those moments.
Just let me know. I'll start crying right now.
You just got to get you really tired, really emotionally
worn out.
I woke
up today to cry. I ain't scared to cry.
I thought
don't make me cry.
One of the cool things about getting to pray over them was getting to surround them with their like close people, their connect group, and then being able to surround them with the staff, and then being able to surround them with the rest of the Heart and Soul group. That was a really cool moment, just to be really intentional about having that moment to really pray over them. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was sad for sure, but I mean, it was powerful. Like, it was extremely powerful. You could just feel that God was just moving in that moment, and that it wasn't just, oh, we're going to, you know, support them. But like it felt very, I mean, powerful is the only word I can think of to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed getting to speak a lot more plainly and explain to like just to talk through what is an unreached people group. Mm-hmm. Like, do y'all understand that like no one is there?
It is offensive. Like, you use that phrase of like the gospel is offensive.
And just the fact that unreached people exist, if Jesus is who we believe that he is, if God has expressed his self and his heart for the world in the way that we believe that he has, if the Bible is true, then unreached people groups are offensive. And the not the people, because it's because those people belong to God. They belong to a Father that loves them, that made a way for them to know him. And that family is going as in faith with that. And so it's important. And but it's really hard, you know, it both requires some measure of like secrecy and you know, and a lack of like fanfare, you know. Not that that couple does it for that purpose to begin with, but the, you know, but they deserve to be celebrated in that way. Yeah. And so for our people to be able to see that and experience that, was good. One thing I enjoyed, going back to what you were saying about the connect groups, like shout out to our connect groups. It was kind of a broad representation of so-and-so has joined and they're in this such and such connect group. And it was like kind of across the board. There were I can think of lots of different connect groups. The Gatto group, the Miller group, the one that stood out to me a lot was Anna, Lainey, and Hanson.
Oh yeah. Having to say all three of those names and trying not to mush them into one. I said their names a lot.
Yeah. Ansel Lainey. Got blended together a couple times. But there's a couple groups like that were lots of our groups were represented, which was cool just to see, because that is like a strategic ask. And John mentioned that of like a lot of the fruitfulness of these processes is built around shoulder tap relationships and personal invitation relationships and people being asked to take next steps by people that are in their life is really important. So if you're listening to this and you make disciples within our church and you're a connect group leader or you want to know the secret sauce to fruitful ministry in the life of our church, make a personal invitation to somebody. Ask them to take a next step. There's going to be some fruitfulness in that. What was the question I was going to ask? What's a cool like story or what's a cool conversation that you had with somebody last night?
Man, I have to think about that one. It was really cool. This isn't necessarily a story or a conversation, but it was really cool to look around the room, and there's about 250 people there, and certainly I didn't know all of them, but to see so many faces walk in that I do have the opportunity to know and like look around and like so many of them are friends, you know, and it's so fun to be like, yeah, we could hang out with my friends tonight, you know, but also to see like so many people that are so familiar to the life of our church, you know, and there, but on the flip side, there was a solid percentage, I don't know, maybe 10% or so that I had no idea who they were, mm-hmm. which is equally as exciting. You know, I kind of looked at them like, and who are you? And they're looking at me back like, and who are you? I'm very involved around here. And it's just maybe like not my circle, you know, maybe it's a connect group I'm not familiar with, or they serve in KK, which I'm not around often and things like that, you know? And so it was really cool just to see, to remember who the people are that have actually made the commitment to our church, that aren't just the ones that, yeah, I know you cause you serve, or yeah, I know you cause you're in group. But, oh, that's right. You're someone that's actually in this with me. It meant a lot to me.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Any other conversation stand out? Any other story? Or
I had a college student come up to me, and he was like, my parents, they like, we were talking about the Heart and Soul Family Dinner, and they were like, man, Quentin has sent us a lot of emails and texts. And I was like, yeah, you have to do that. I just thought that was funny.
Well, if you were able to show them the percentage of things people respond to on in only one, the first piece of communication, they would understand why there are three or four other ones. Yeah,
that was funny. And then I think just funny, like I was kind of bouncing around a lot, and so I didn't have a ton of conversations, but just like a funny kind of shout out was Logan, Kali, and Pablo. I had asked them to like help with the ice. And I remember I was like, hey, just hang out here. When people are coming through, like, we're not going to have the drinks on ice, so they might want a cup of ice. And so just be there to be a face, to scoop ice and give them a cup if they need it. And I remember, like, I went off to go do something else and came back, and they had filled up, like, 20 to 30 cups with ice and tea. And I'm like, that's not what I asked, but I think that's amazing. Like, it was just kind of cool with going along with what Russ said of, like, it was cool to have a college presence there, and that they were so willing to want to serve and just help. And I just thought that was so funny. I came back, I was like, yeah, you guys are ready with the tea. And I remember, I think I was like, so which ones are sweet and which ones are unsweet? And they're like, well, I think this one.
We'll get them next time.
Yeah. But just like, I thought that was a cool kind of story shout out, just to say, like, I just asked them just to be there and be a presence, and they took it upon themselves to like, let's go ahead and pour these drinks and just have it ready. And I really did appreciate that.
That is fun. On the other kind of, you know, on a similar conversation that I had last night, that it was Miss Anna Kicklighter. Mm. She came and said that was really encouraging to see all the new faces, like, you know, We in a lot of ways have resisted all things like tradition and formality, and I think that's what's made a lot of people that are either have been hurt by the church in the past, or have gotten disconnected from church, where we have been a place that has facilitated people getting reconnected or connected for the first time with church. But there are people like the Kicklighters that have faithfully been involved in God's church for maybe all of their life. Even when we went to Reidsville, right? Like that was Les said something like that was his grandmother's or grandfather's church or something like that.
Yeah.
Like their roots in God's covenant community run really deep. And so for them to remark on something like a Heart and Soul Family Dinner and getting to see all the new Heart and Soul people as meaningful meant a lot to me. It made me feel like, okay, we have led our church into something that has deeper rooted meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I've been at other churches in the past, when I was a seminary student at Imago Dei, when we would do that, it was really meaningful. And they would do the same thing when people would roll off of membership because they moved, because they took a new job, because they found another church. Like they would be intentional at members' meetings too to like say, the such and such family, they have moved to such and such, and they're no longer members here. There's just a level of intentionality of like what's going on in the family, that I've always really appreciated, and I think it was just enough of like tradition without it becoming traditional. And same thing, similar to that, there, like the praying over the family, it was like it tied the right amount of emotion together, I think. Like, mm-hmm. people, I heard a common thing of like, yeah, when you were praying and then you started crying, like, it made me start crying. there was just the right amount of like emotion involved that like that, but that's a family involves emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, family, you should be a safe place to feel, should be a safe place to have emotion together. Not just like, hey, if you're going to have emotion, you need to go into your room and have that off, mm-hmm. by yourself, you know, like, we should be able to feel together. And so those are a few stories. Any other conversations?
There was one other story I thought of that was just kind of like helped me zoom out from the night a little bit of like, I think the team here did a really good job of planning and preparing and making sure that all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted and all those sorts of things to prepare for the night. But like, there was one Heart and Soul member, and she is in the military, and so she's moving away, not necessarily by her choice, but she's being stationed elsewhere in a whole different state.
The military is kidnapping her?
Kind of. No, I'm just kidding.
Russ, need you on that one. I'll delegate that task to you. You got to figure that out.
Yeah. But she's already moved all of her stuff, and she came back to Statesboro for 1 week, and it just happened. The Lord just worked it out perfectly that she was back for the 1 week for the Heart and Soul family dinner. Aww. And this is like her last week with us. And it reminded me.
I wish I would have known that.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that either until last night. But it reminded me that, like, sure, the Lord is working in our church as a whole. Absolutely, I believe that. But the Lord is doing things in these individual lives as well. And it meant so much to her to be there. And she got to see the Heart and Soul family and, like, kind of tell them goodbye, you know. Mm. And she didn't think she was going to be able to. Mm. She came Sunday morning and was like, she kind of wanted to come in and go out because she didn't want to say goodbye. And the Lord forced her back, kind of, you know, for the Heart and Soul family dinner. And she was a mess. And she wouldn't mind me saying that. She was just an emotional wreck. But because, like, she was just dumbfounded by God's grace that he would allow her to say goodbye in that way. And that we were all together. And plus, it was already kind of an emotional night. And so that's a story that meant a lot to me last night.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. Man. Now I feel sad. Any other thoughts from just cool stories, cool conversations, anything, Russell?
One thing I noticed, it wasn't a conversation. Me and Chase were standing in the back and just looking around at like how the people were sitting in at the tables. And it didn't feel like it was just this group with their normal friends. It just felt like everybody had embraced like the larger community. And there was like people that were sitting with people that they might not normally spend a lot of time with, but you know, it was still part of the family. I don't know if that makes sense. What I'm trying to say is like, it wasn't this connect group sitting with this connect group and this connect group. It was people from all different connect groups, all different age ranges, all sitting together as the Heart and Soul family. And that was a cool picture for me to like look out and see that like, this is our family. And it's not like this group is secluded within the family over here, and then this other group secluded within the family over here.
Right. Yeah, I like that. That is good. If there is one additional thing we could have or maybe should have shared with our Heart and Soul family, what do you think that is? Another way to think about the question is, if you were to go back and reinforce any one point that we made of like, I really hope they grabbed onto this, what would that be? It can be either or.
I really hope that people saw how our new Heart and Soul members are taking next steps, and that that was encouraging to them. And if maybe it wasn't encouraging, that it was convicting to them. Mm. You know, we're God is doing something in this church where he is calling people to more, and people are hungry to more. And I sit in the seat where I get to do a lot of those follow-ups. I get to talk with people and you know, work through the four cultures of our church. And more times than not, it's, yeah, I have been looking for a connect group. Can you help me figure out which one? Or, you know, I really want to serve in KK. I want to do production. Like, they're ready for somebody just to ask them what to do. And, you know, when John put up those numbers about, you know, like in this room, these are the opportunities that we have. And I really just hope that people heard just the overwhelming connectedness that our new Heart and Soul members have since last April, and that was something where they were encouraged or, you know, stirred to also join into this and to find community and to find areas to serve, to give, to be evangelistic. That was something that I really, really hope people went away with, of like, it's so important, and it's more than just checking a box or doing a system or a process that we have set up, but it's important because it's important to God. Like, these things matter because we get to see the fruit of now sending a family out because they continue to say yes and continue to say yes and continue to say yes. And it's just, you know, like, there's so much joy to be had in it. And I think so many people are missing that because they're afraid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether afraid or whatever the reason, but like, we don't lead into these four cultures lightly. You know, we don't call people to these ministries and participating in them lightly. And we do think they represent the full expression of like being shepherded and participating in God's mission within this local church.
Yeah.
There's a whole portion. I got to it right at the end of the first part where I was sharing the vision, and I had this whole conversation that I was thinking through sharing about treating your church like a buffet versus Bull and Barrel. And in the moment, I just kind of nixed it because we were running out of time and
them dang chicken strips.
The chicken strips from the company that we shall not name.
Hey, they were phenomenal. Whatever time they came, they were well worth it.
They were late. They were late. Why did the chicken cross the road? It didn't, because it was late. And I forgot my point. What were
Bull
we talking
and
about?
Barrel and Buffet.
I really think to your point, Q, that like, members are treating being a part of a church differently. And I really don't have anything to base that off of except for all of our connection churches. But I know here, like, our new members understand the vision and go all in on it in a seemingly much hardier way than people that have been here longer.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but observationally, it's just seemingly true. Like, we had 250 people there last night, and 55 of them were new members since April of 2024. And so, and then to hear the amount of people that are already in a group, already serving, you know, buying, you know, we didn't even look at it, so we don't know, but like, who all is giving and whatnot. But like, you know, there's a whole portion of a conversation of like treating your church like Bull and Barrel. Like, sure, there are some different things on the menu, but you're trusting that like the chef knows how to cook the steak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there to participate in what this restaurant serves, right? Like, I'm not peeking into the kitchen and saying, hey, you need another guy on the grill. Hey, you need somebody at the salad station. Hey, you need somebody working desserts, right? Like, you're not back there giving recommendations of like, here's how we think. We're not just lobbing requests of here's how we think things should be done, and then going rogue and doing those things. That's treating your church like a buffet of like, well, I want a little bit of macaroni and cheese with my medium rare ribeye with some fried shrimp and some chicken Alfredo, right? Like, we're saying, this is what we serve. This is what's on the menu. To be shepherded, you need to be in a group. To further God's mission, we need people to be generous. To connect with unbelievers that walk into our church, we need people to serve. Mm-hmm. You know, to, what am I missing?
Evangelism.
Like, you're going to more fully experience the presence of God as you participate in His mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the menu. Right. And how that gets sort of expressed can be a little bit differently. But
it's funny. I feel like the examples always come up with like food, but I shared a similar example that not that yours does not make sense. It absolutely does, but what I share with
please, go
heart
ahead and correct
soul,
me, Q.
I'm not correcting you at all. You are wise beyond all understanding.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
But blasphemy. It's like, think of like your food groups. Like if you decide to just eat one food group, like you will survive. Like you could just eat meat your entire life and you will be absolutely fine. You will make it. But like you're going to be missing some sort of nutrients. And I kind of share that with him. I'm just like, we need to have a full diet. Ooh, see, I pulled
a carnivore diet is what you're talking about.
No, not necessarily a carnivore diet. Not in your faith, at least. You can do whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. But in your faith, we need to have all of our food groups represented. And these are just like, these are the food groups that, this is how we display our food groups at Connection Church. Mm. And if you do not partake in the entire meal, if you do not have all your food groups covered, you're going to be malnourished in some area. Yeah. You're going to need to supplement something. If somebody can't have meat, they need to supplement.
What portion of our ministries are gluten-free desserts?
I don't have a witty
gluten-free dessert.
This is the gluten-free dessert. It's like, it's good, but it's still missing a little something.
No, gluten-free desserts are the best.
When that's what you're restricted to.
I didn't say sugar-free.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's as Will said, like having like this is what we serve.
Yeah.
This is what's on the menu. This is what we think will be the most nourishing meal you could participate in. What about Marie, Russ, anything that you guys think about, like if people could take away one thing, or if there's one additional thing that you could encourage our people with, or what you wish they would have heard last night, what would it be?
Big takeaway, and I hope that a lot of people did hear it and were able to see it. I had some college students come to the house last night after the Heart and Soul dinner to hang out, and I had the opportunity to talk with two of them specifically, and they both mentioned the pipeline that we put up on the screen and like where are you at in this pipeline between Unconnected, Heart and Soul, in a connect group, a connect group leader, a multiplier. But they really took to heart that and was like, oh, I'm right there, but like, okay, so there's my next step, but like, how do I get there? And we're beginning to ask questions of like, what do I need to grow in to get from where I'm at to where I see my next step? And they were able to see like what their next step is and be able to identify that so that they could then begin to figure out like what needs to grow in me to get there. And I think for me, like, I hope our church could see like, here's where I'm at and here is my next step. So how do I begin to take that next step? What does that look like for me to be active in pursuing that next step?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
I think for me, the one that really stood out to me was, the needed connect group leaders, if we want to connect everybody. And John had put that number of 100 up there. And I think that that was great. But I wonder if some people saw that number and were just kind of like, whoo, they just threw a big number up there, didn't they? Like, I would love to just like rewind the tape and then play it all the way through to show them like, let's start where we're at. Let's see why we need this number, why this is a realistic number. And you could even see if you did like quick math of people in connect group versus connect group leaders, they're all full, you know? And
we have 49 groups currently. And we're 495 people that we can track in connect groups. So that's roughly 10 per group, which we know that's not 100% accurate. There are multiple groups that have way more. But to Marie's point, that is the quick math. That's how we get to 100. I felt ridiculous when John texted me and said, how many more groups do we need? I said, 100. But to Marie's point, that feels like such a ridiculous number. Sorry, keep going.
No, that's all I had to say. It was just like, but it's a realistic number too. And I hope that we painted that picture well. And I hope that too, if people have questions about it, we can talk to them further of like, no, this is a number we came up with, like with math. Sounds good if we had 100 more.
To that point too, John said we have 80 current leaders, so we need 100 more leaders. That's not exactly true.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, it's... In the moment, I think what he said made sense, and it's going to communicate something that's very, very much true. That's if every leader started a group and led alone.
Mm-hmm.
When in our philosophy of groups, we want people to plant in twos, right? Mm-hmm. We want people to go out with a co-leader And that, so in that regard, we need 200 more leaders because we need 100 more groups. Mm-hmm. And so we need groups of all.
You think 100 is crazy? Double it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and there's going to be attrition, right? Like, yeah, even in the 49 that we have, if we planted 100 more groups, some of those aren't going to remain, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are going to experience life transitions, especially a lot of the, like, either newly married with no kids or single or young adult but not married yet. Like, there's built-in transition that's going to happen for many of those leaders that is probably going to create some measure of attrition. So what we need to be is a church that is dogmatic about leadership development, mm-hmm. that we have to be laser-focused on raising up new leaders. Yeah. And so I agree with that, Marie, that, like, that's worth an extended period of time to have a conversation about, of like, where does that number come from? It comes from the fact that we have around 1,500 people. I think the number is actually, it's either 1,300 of your weekly average, but around 1,900 total people that call this their church home. So let's call it kind of right in the middle, 1,500. What we believe is all 1,900 of those people, that real life change would happen for them in community. Mm-hmm. And if we only have 495 people in group, we have about 1,000 to 1,300 people that we would convictionally say are not experiencing real life change because it can only happen in community. Mm-hmm. And I think serving kind of reflects that as well. Well, they would experience some community in that regard as well. So we need somewhere between 100 more connect groups, or really like 200 more connect group leaders. That's the only thing you need to plant a group, is a ready leader. That's all. Mm-hmm. But just the process of raising up a ready leader is a lot that goes into that. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Any other thoughts? Anything else stand out from last night? If you had to guess, if you had to completely just pontificate about the future.
Like, pontificate. Mm.
If you had to just guess and dream, what do you think the fruit of last night will be for later in 2025 and beyond? What do you think God will take what we did last night, and what if you had to guess, what will come of that in people's lives?
So I know some of the answers, but I'm not going to say those ones. But because it's already happening.
Know?
I've already seen some steps people have taken. But
that's true.
Talking about not those, I think that I think Q did a really good job of making it very clear. Like, there was no guilt or shame in announcing the new Heart and Soul members, but there was excitement around, like, these are the next steps they've taken. Mm-hmm. They're in Connect Group, they're serving, or they're really looking forward to it or whatever else. And it made it seem very normal. Like, this is what you should be doing. Like, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, wow, they're already in Connect Group. But instead it was like, yeah, because that's what we do around here. We're in Connect Group. And I think that's like a mind shift that is a shift. It's a bit different than how people maybe have believed in the past. And so just like starting to shift their mind of starting to think like, oh, it's normal around here to serve. Why haven't I done that yet? Or it's normal to be in group. Why haven't I done that yet? Yeah. So just even like being in the thought process of taking next steps and that being part of being Heart and Soul, I think is something that will happen from here.
Mm. I love that. Thoughts?
I think that we will see a lot of people step up and support our long-term missionaries.
Mm. Yeah, I was one that was kind of sitting on the forefront of my mind. It's like, I think that our people will rise to the occasion, that the Spirit of God living inside of people will rise to the occasion of meeting all their financial needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
Well, Q stole it, so what was the other one?
Well, Marie stole my other one too. So. I think that we are at the verge of seeing God do some incredible things in the life of our church. And like, one thing that you specifically said last night that really kind of created a lot of excitement in me is, if we believe that we're going to get to see 50 churches planted by 2050, like, we're not on goal for that right now. So what that leaves is the freedom for God to do some incredible things in people's lives. And like that excites me. That makes me think, like, who's God going to raise up to be a church planter within that room last night? But then also what you said is the fact is there is a very real possibility that somebody that doesn't even know the Lord yet is going to come to know the Lord, be discipled, be raised up, and plant a church in that time period. And, like, if you really sit back and think about that, that's incredible. Like, that's exciting.
Here's yet another reason I believe that, because this was the portion of experiencing God that I sat down and did today. So I didn't do it. I said that last night. Here's what I opened to today. You know, I have no control over the timeline of these things other than I'm behind. The big question was, what would our operating budget be? By faith, we adopted the grand total as our operating budget. At this point, we've reached a crisis of belief. Did we really believe that God, who had led us to do these things, would provide the resources to bring them to pass? Anytime God leads you to do something that has God-sized dimensions, you will face a crisis of belief. At that point, what you do next reveals what you believe about God. And I said that last night in faith, that I believe that God will bring the resource that we need to plant 50 churches by the year 2050. But the resource that you need to plant a church is a ready leader. And so the development of a church planter from lost to ready, that is a journey.
That is a
long road. And for us to plant to pursue this goal as a network of churches, 50 churches by the year 2050 has God-sized dimensions. Especially when you keep factoring, I'm not complaining, but when you start factoring in that we are like 4 or 5, if not 10 years ahead of our long-term missionary goal. Like, we were supposed to have planted a certain amount of local churches to support this amount of long-term missionaries being sent. And these crazy yahoos keep wanting to go to unreached people groups.
Like, God's telling them to do this or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, and they like to play that card, don't they?
God told me to go.
And so, and, you know, that the not only is it like a big God-sized goal, but then even bigger God-sized opportunities keep opening up, and we're scratching our heads like, I don't know where these resources are going to come from. And so that tells me, in some regard, we must be walking in step with the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God wants to do in the world, because we can't accomplish it in our power. We don't have enough strategies. We can't call enough meetings. We can't do enough work to accomplish God's mission.
And we just don't know the plan either. Like, we don't know the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if God would drop a, like, you know, like Acts 2 or with the Pentecost scene of, like, little tongues of fire over who's supposed to be the future church planters.
Done.
Just like a spotlight would just appear in the room over them. I'd go and start having conversations with them and walk beside them and we'd get this done. That's not what he chooses to do. And because I think then I would do all of that in my understanding under my own power. And so that's maybe that's kind of in putting a bow on this of, like, that's a big way that you could just create a prayer card, keep it in your prayer journal, write it in the cover of your Bible, something. Just like, pray that God would raise up the necessary amount of church planters and then do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could even think or imagine. Yeah,
for sure.
That God would send the financial resources for our long-term missionary couple to have everything they need to participate in pursuing an unreached people group, and that we would dream big as a staff and as a team of elders of, what does this mission require of us to accomplish? Whatever that might be, and let's get on board with what God's doing and leverage our lives to make there be no more unreached people groups in the world, for sure.
I do think, like, quickly before we're done, that's something that I hope that the church, meaning our Heart and Soul family, saw last night was like knowing that couple pretty well that's being sent out and everything else, that like I think that people assume that church planters and missionaries and things like that, they say, oh, well, God told me this. And so they come to the church saying, this is like what God told me. And so this is what I want your help on. But like this couple instead, they got involved here and grew roots here and things like that. And like that just shows that it could be any of us. Like it could be people sitting in that room that could be the next church planter. It's not the one that God saves and says, and now, you know, the heavens will part and you will plant a church, you know, because like that couple, from what I understand, that's not necessarily how it worked for them. They just know what like the next step was that God laid out. And so like hopefully what the church saw was that it's just people that are involved in the life of our church. That's all that it is. And people involved in life in our church can go be missionaries, and people involved in the life of our church can go plant churches. And that's an example of who we got to pray over last night.
Mm. That's well said. Not I, but someone. but I was talking to Chris about this earlier. We were talking about like God just seems to, like when you get the like hair stand up on your arms, like super emotional experience early on as a believer, and God seems to do that to get our attention. But then as we mature and we grow in the faith, God seems to just show the next step. Mm-hmm. And then the one after that, and then the one after that. Because, and what we were talking through is like, it's, I know me in my own flesh, I'll bypass the steps that I don't want to take because they're uncomfortable, mm-hmm. to hurry up and get to take the steps that I do want to take because mm-hmm. they sound exciting. Where I hope that our college students receive that. I hope that people that even aspire to plant a connect group, that they would see not just the prize at the end of the process, but that they would fall in love with the process mm-hmm. of being the type of person that begins to grow and take next steps and be okay with, if people think that I'm not ready yet, that's their love for me, mm-hmm. and that they would be willing to partner in a journey mm-hmm. to get prepared. Because there is some needed protection in that as well. And I think that couple last night, not I, but someone, modeled that really well. And so, well, thank you guys for recapping this with me. I hope that anybody that couldn't make it, that this was an encouragement, to get to see a little bit of what we share. That's certainly not all of it. Hope you guys will, that if you're listening to this, and you did get to make it, I hope you can make it to the next Heart and Soul Family Dinner. We'll try to have another one in the fall. But yeah, this was encouraging. So we love you guys. Keep making disciples. Let us know if you need anything. We'll see you on another episode of Equipped. Sorry, we will see you on another episode of Equipped.
Peace.
Peace.